Welcome to Torah Timachanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we will be learning Sefer Melachim Beis, Perek Tes, Chapter 9. Our chapter begins in the middle of a story, in fact, in the middle of a war. Remember, both the armies of Yehuda and Yisrael are in Ramos Gilad, but the kings are not. The kings are in Yisrael. Yehoram to convalesce and Ahaziah to visit him. Our parak returns us to Elisha. Verse 1. Ve'Elisha ha-Navi kara la'achad mibnei ha-Navi'im v'yomer lo, chagor masnecha, v'kach pach ha-shemen hazeh biyadecha v'leich Ramos Gilad. Elisha the prophet calls to one of the bnei Navi'im and says to him, gird your loins and take this flask of oil in your hand and go to Ramos Gilad. Gird your loins. What I'm asking of you is important as well as dangerous. Rashi brings down Medrash. Who is this Ben Navi? It is none other than Yonah Ben Amittai, who will become famous later as the Navi sent to warn Nineveh to repent or to be destroyed. Yonah, who was swallowed by a fish. Verse 2. Uvasa shama ureisham Yehu ben Yehoshaphat ben Imshi. Uvasa vahakemoso mitoch echav. When you arrive there, you will see a man, Yehu, the son of Yehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and come and raise him from amongst his friends and bring him somewhere private. Verse 3, and take this flask of oil and pour it on his head and say to him, Ko amar Hashem, mishachticha lemelech el Yisrael. So says God, I have anointed you as the new king of Yisrael. Ufatachta hadeles v'nasta v'lo sechakeh. And then open the door and flee. Do not wait. Now we know what the secret and dangerous mission is. Yonah is told to anoint Yehu as the new king of Yisrael. And yes, it's dangerous. Yehoram ben Ahav is still alive. What is very unusual here is the anointing. Traditionally, only the kings of Yehuda are anointed because Hashem chose the kings of Yehuda to be king. The entire reality of a split kingdom is tragic and certainly not the true Ratzon Hashem plan of God. But here, because Yehoram ben Ahav is still alive and Hashem has chosen Yehu to kill him, as we will see, to give another chance for the return of the 10 tribes to the Torah and to Hashem, there's going to be oil. But Rashi clarifies, not Shemen HaMishcha, not the holy oil used to anoint the Mishkan and its vessels. It was Shemen Afar Simon, persimmon oil. Verse 4, he reaches Ramos Gilad, and in verse 5, he sees a group of generals. Vayavo vihine sare hachayel yoshvim, vayomer davar li elecha hasar. So he sees this group of generals sitting down, and he says to them, I have a message for you, O general. Ironically, it is Yehu who responds, vayomer Yehu el mimi kulanu, vayomer elecha hasar. Yehu says, which one of us? And he says, you, general. And so Yonah brings him inside somewhere private. In verse 6, Vayakam Vayavo Habaisa, he comes into the house, Vayitzok HaShemen Al Rosho, he pours the oil on his head, Vayomer Lo, and says to him, Ko Amar HaShem Elokei Yisrael, Mishachticha Lemelech El Am HaShem El Yisrael. So says God, the God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the nation of HaShem, over Yisrael. Stressing, Malbim said, there are strings attached to this gift of power. You have a mandate here from the God of Israel, and that is to take his children, his nation, and bring them home to become once again Yisrael. And the way this is going to happen is by destroying the house of Ahav, this house of murderers. And thus, in Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Vihi kisa space Ahav Adonecha v'ni kamti dmei avadai ha-Nevi'im u'dmei kol avdei Hashem miyad Izavel. You shall strike down the house of Ahav, your master, and I will avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of Hashem from Izavel's hand. And in verse 8 and 9, the house of Ahav will be compared to the house of Yeravam and the house of Baasha, both families who were given the privilege and opportunity from Hashem of power, of kingship, but who flagrantly denied Hashem and influenced the entire nation of Malchus Yisrael to worship idols with catastrophic results, and were ultimately totally wiped out. This is about to finally happen to the house of Ahav. And Jezebel herself, that vicious and cruel murderer, verse 10, Ve'es Jezebel yochlu haklavim b'chelak Yisrael, ve'in kover, v'yiftach hadeles v'yanos. And Jezebel, the dogs will eat her in the field of Yisrael, and she will not be buried. And then Yonah opens the door and flees. As suddenly as Yonah has arrived, he is gone. And Yehu, perhaps still dripping with oil, is left alone with his thoughts and new reality. What does he do with it? In verse 11, V'yehu yatsa el avdei Adonav v'yomer lo hashalom madua baha mishuga haza elecha v'yomer aleihem atem yadatem es ha'ish v'es sicho. Yehu goes out to the servants of his masters, his friends, and they say to him, is everything okay? Why did this madman come to you? And he said to them, oh, you know this man and his way of talking. This pasuk is very tragically telling us the attitude of Yisrael to prophets, to Nevi'im. The truth is, Radak reminds us, as we know from when Shaul had suddenly received prophecy, when one was receiving a prophecy from Hashem, he would go into a kind of trance and lose control over his faculties. But that is because Hashem is talking to him, because his brain and heart are in communication with God. To define that holy experience as madness, as insanity, this was a strategic defense mechanism of the evil sinners of the time. If I can pretend to think that these Nevi'im are insane, then I don't need to listen to them. And so Yehu responds easily, you know this man and the way he talks, in other words, agreeing with them. Nothing happened, just the rantings of the madman. But in Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, they say, Sheker, hageina lanu, lies, tell us now. They may pretend not to know. They may pretend to think that Nevi'im are just Meshuga'im, madmen, but they know, and insist that Yehoram be honest with them. He is a Navi. If he is here, there must be a message from Hashem. And so Yehu tells them, yes, he did tell me a message from Hashem. Mishachticha lemelech al Yisrael. Hashem has anointed me king over Yisrael. There is perhaps no greater sign that this is the will of God than the fact that the entire army immediately switched sides. They all abandoned Yehoram and pledged allegiance to Yehu. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, forming a makeshift throne, blowing the shofar and crying out, Malach Yehu, Yehu has ruled. In verse 14, Yehu gives his first order, let no one leave the city of Ramoth Gilead to inform the king of my rebellion. Verse 15 and 16 remind us that at this time, both King Yehoram ben Ahav, the king of Malchus Yisrael, and King Ahaziah ben Yehoram Melech Yehuda are in Israel. Yehoram has been wounded by Aram and Ahaziah has gone to visit him. And now in verse 17, V'hatzofeh omed al hamigdal b'Yisrael, and the lookout was standing on the tower in Israel. Way before GPS and satellite early warning systems, there were lookouts on towers. Vayar es shif'as Yehu bivo'o, vayomer shif'as ani ro'eh, vayomer Yehoram, kach rakav ushlach likrasam viyomar hashalom. So he sees this huge group of people coming with Yehu, and he says, I see a group. And Yehoram says, take a rider and send to greet them, and find out, are you coming in peace? In verse 18, Vayelech rochev hasus lekraso, so a rider goes out to meet him, Vayomer ko amar hamelech, hashalom? So says the king, are you here in peace? Vayomer Yehu, and Yehu responds, Malacha ulishalom, what's with you in peace? Sov el acharai, come behind me, join me. Yehu recruits the soldier to his side, and the lookout reports, Baha Malach Adheim Vilo Shav. The messenger reached them, but did not return. In verse 19, Vayishtach Rochev Sus Sheni, Vayavo Alehem, Vayomer, Ko Amar HaMelech Shalom, Vayomer Yehu, Malacha Ulishalom, Sov El Acharai. So he sends a second horse and rider, and he reaches them and says, so says the king, peace. And Yehu again says, what is with you and peace? You come with me. And in verse 20, again, the lookout reports, the messenger reached them, but did not return. And now that the riders have come closer, he can add, and I have identified the leader of the group. V'haminhag kiminhag Yehu ben Nimshi, kibashigo onyinhag. And his way is the way of Yehu ben Nimshi, because he rides crazy. He had a distinct wild way of riding. This is Yehu. In verse 21, Yehoram makes a quick decision to stop sending messengers and instead to confront Yehu himself. And Ahaziah, the king of Yehuda, joins him. Verse 21, Vayomer Yehoram Esor, Vayesor Rechbo. And so Yehoram says, harness. He harnessed his chariot. Vayetze Yehoram Melech Yisrael, Vahaziah Melech Yehuda, Ish Berechbo. And Yehoram, the king of Yisrael, and Ahaziah, the king of Yehuda, both of them go into their chariots, Vayitzu lekras Yehu, and they go to meet Yehu. Vayimtza'uhu bechelkas Navos ha-Yisraeli. And where do they find him? In the field of Navos ha-Yisraeli. Is that significant? That the place that Yehoram and Yehu meet is the field of Navos ha-Yisraeli? Of course it is. Navos was the man that Yezebel had murdered to satisfy the jealous desire of King Ahab. And this is the field they had stolen. This field of Navos HaYisraeli had become the symbol of the egregious selfishness, the dishonesty, cruelty, and violence of this family of Ahab. They would do anything to further their own agenda and their own greedy desires. Verse 22. And when Yehoram sees Yehu, he says, can we be at peace, Yehu? And Yehu responds, Ma ha-shalom, adznunei Yezebel imcha ukshafeha harabim? What peace can there be so long as the lewd practices of thy mother Yezebel and her witchcrafts are so many? What is peace? The message is, your ways are destructive. Your behavior and what your family has wrought is the antithesis of peace. This tragically sad, helpless, and pointless cry of Yehoram, Hashalom, could we just be at peace? Elisha has tried so hard to bring lasting peace to Yehoram. He has told him so many times what needs to happen, what needs to change, but Yehoram wouldn't or couldn't. He desperately wants everything to be okay, but refuses to do more than the superficial work necessary to actually make that happen. And now it's too late. We recall back in Parak Gimel, chapter 3, his cry to Elisha, oh, don't talk about my idol worship. Don't talk about my shortcomings. And now it's just too late. Yehoram tries to escape, and as he turns to flee, he warns Ahaziah as well. But in verse 24, V'yehu milei yado bakeshes, Yehu filled his hand with the bow, v'yachas Yehoram bein zro'av, and he hit Yehoram between his arms, v'yete hachetzi milibo, and the arrow went through his heart, v'yichra b'richbo, and he slumped in his chariot. Chazal note the interesting language, he hit him between his arms, which is of course his heart. Why is it phrased this way? Medrash Tanchuma explained that this was punishment for something he had done with his arms. The fact that when Ovadia borrowed money from him to save the Nevi'im, he had charged him interest, totally ruining him. In verses 25 and 26, the climax of our parak, Yehu turns to his new general Bidkar and says, throw Yehoram's body into the field of Navos HaYisraeli, because I remember years ago, we were in the army of this man's father, Ahab. Me and you, Bidkar, we were in this field when he murdered Navos for it. And when he stole this field, we were in there when Eliyahu Hanavi told Ahab those words that Hashem sees the blood of Navos and his children, the blood of those innocent Jews that he murdered, and that Hashem will make him pay for this act. Bidkar, this is God's revenge. We were there. For Yehu to actually see justice finally done must have been so powerful and so important for him as the next king to experience the truth that you don't really get away with murder, and that ultimately there is justice. Ahaziah tries to escape, but he is also hit. Here in Malachim, it sounds like Ahaziah dies in Megiddo, but in Divrei Hayamim, it sounds more like he hid in Shomron, was wounded, and died there. And so both kings, Ahaziah the king of Yehuda, and Jehoram the king of Israel, who had become so similar in their behavior, in their idol worship, in their denial of Hashem, died on the same day. In verse 30, it's finally time to punish Jezebel herself. Vayavo Yehu Yisraela, in verse 30, Yehu arrives in Israel. Ve'Jezebel shama'an, Jezebel hears. Vatasim bapuch enaha, and she puts makeup on her eyes. Vateteves rosha, and she fixes her headpiece. Vatashkif ba'ara chalon, and she looks out the window. Vayehu ba bashar, and Yehu arrives at the gate. Vatomer, and she says, Hashalom Zimri horeg Adonav? Is there peace, O Zimri, who kills his masters? What is she doing? Putting on makeup? Now? And what is she saying? Why is she calling him Zimri? Malbim says she put on the makeup for her own servants and called him Zimri to remind him of the Zimri in Malachim Aleph, the servant who had killed the king, Elah ben Basha, but ruled for only 1 week. The nation would not follow a rebel. They ended up choosing my father-in-law, Omri. Are you really going to follow another Zimri? But the other Mefarshim understand from these psukim that she is talking to Yehu himself, and what she is saying is, don't feel like we can't be at peace just because you killed your master, who happens to be my son. Zimri did that too. We could be friends still. You don't need to kill me. And Rashi actually says she was hoping that Yehu would spare her and marry her. But it didn't go quite like that, because in verse 32, Vayisa panav al hachalon, he looks up at the window, vayomer, and he says, Mi iti mi, who is with me? Vayashkifu elav shnayim shlosha sarisim, and two or three officers look down at him, and he says, throw her down. She is thrown and trampled by horses. And in verse 34, Yehu sits down to eat, but then he says, Piktunaz harura hazos vikivruha, kibas melachi. Remember this cursed woman and bury her, because after all, she is the daughter of a king. Interesting, Radak says she was the daughter of a non-Jewish king, but she was the wife of Ahav. Why not call her the queen? And Radak explains, since she caused her husband's death, and she destroyed him and his chances to have a kingdom, she does not deserve to be the wife of the king. Verse 35, they went to bury her, the Lomatsuba, but they did not find any of her body, ki im hagulgoles v'haraglayim v'kapos hayadayim. They found nothing but her skull, her hands, and her feet. The rest of her body had been eaten by dogs. The Medrash Pirkei Derebi Eliezer tells us something fascinating. Jezebel, that horrible person, had two areas where she actually did kind deeds. When a funeral procession would pass by her home, she would leave her house and bang her hands and shake her head and walk 10 steps in empathy and commiseration. And when a wedding procession would pass by her home, she would also take 10 steps, clapping and dancing and nodding her head in joyful participation. And Hashem repays everyone, even a monster like Jezebel. She used her feet and hands and skull for kindness, and so they will be buried. But again, Yehu is moved and shaken and recalls in Psukim 36 and 37. Yes, this is the word of God that he spoke through his servant Eliyahu HaTishbi, saying that the dogs will eat Jezebel and will not be buried, and that she will be like garbage on the field, that no one will be able to say this is Jezebel. And this is how chapter 9, Perek Tes, concludes. Again, the end of an era. The terrible, horrific reign of the house of Ahav is finally finished. Against the backdrop of many failed leaders in the kingdom of Israel, this family still stands alone in infamy, notorious for the damage they caused. And we look ahead and we wonder, do we dare hope that this new King Yehu, anointed by a prophet who begins with so much success, so much clarity, will he do it right? Will he fix it? Will he bring Malchus Yisrael back to Hashem? Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmot, Imahotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer, Aleha HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker, Aleha HaShalom. Each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.